Too often, artificial intelligence in marketing is about volume, pushing out more content, more ads, more noise. But today we'll hear a different story, one where AI is used like a scientist, measuring, testing, and refining to ensure every marketing dollar drives real results. It's a smarter, more precise way to grow without the waste. My name is Alexander Nevsky, and this is Innovation Tales.
Navigating change, one story at a time, we share insights from leaders tackling the challenges of today's digital world. Welcome to Innovation Tales, the podcast exploring the human side of digital transformation.
In this episode, we're tackling a big challenge in marketing, attribution. How do you know which campaigns actually drive sales and which ones are wasting your budget? We'll break down why ad platforms often give misleading data, how AI can reveal what really works, and why testing, not tracking people, is the key to better decisions. Our guest today is Zeke Camusio, founder of DataSpeaks, an AI-powered analytics platform that helps businesses spend smarter. With a background in economics and data science, he spent 20 years helping companies move beyond guesswork and make data-driven decisions. If you've ever wondered whether your marketing dollars are going to the right places, this episode will give you the answers. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Zeke Camusio. Zeke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alex. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you found the time for this conversation. I have been looking for an angle to cover AI impact on marketing, but I needed an expert like you, someone with a background in data science. Let's make sure we bring the audience along, however, and set the context while providing a few definitions. We agreed to discuss marketing attribution. So how did you come to focus on this capability, and how do you explain its importance to people outside of the marketing team?
Of course. So in any business, regardless of what kind of business it is, usually what happens is that you have a set of activities you do that you hope to drive a certain outcome, and then you have the outcome itself. So an example of that is if it's B2B, maybe you're trying to get leads from your website. If you have an e-commerce store, maybe you're trying to get sales. Regardless of the outcome, there are certain things that you do. You advertise on LinkedIn, on Google, on Facebook. You go to trade shows. You send emails, do podcasts. And none of these activities, even though they have data that they provide in dashboards, none of them can give you real understanding of the impact they're having on your outcome. So if you got $1 million in revenue at the end of the month, how do you know how much of that was driven by Google, Facebook, Instagram, and so on? And if you don't know that, how can you possibly decide what's the best way to invest your marketing dollars? So that's the problem we solve. We give marketers the ability to track what drives their conversions and revenue so they can invest in the right channels and campaigns.
And were you already in marketing when you started your latest venture?
Yeah. This is all I've done since I graduated high school about 25 years ago. I had my several businesses on my own and had a marketing agency for a few years. And when it was acquired in 2015, I was working with a few clients doing consulting. And this one client that saw a metric for Facebook ads known as ROAS, or return on ad spend. And the ROAS said it was 5. What that should mean is that you could invest $10,000 and get $50,000 in revenue. So that happened. He invested $10,000 on that channel and he got $20,000 in revenue back. And he was, and we didn't manage the campaign or anything, but he was really confused by the fact that he got a 2x return on investment instead of 5x as the platform reported. And he didn't know why. I had been working in digital marketing for a long time by then. I knew that the customer journey is very complex. People interact with you across multiple channels, multiple devices, and no one platform can give you a true understanding of the influence on revenue in this case, because none of these platforms has access to the other platforms. For example, if somebody clicks on an Instagram ad, a Google ad, those two platforms will take credit for the same sale because they don't talk to each other. Neither one of them has access to your source of truth, which is your web sales. And as a result, I noticed that it wasn't only this client, but a lot of our clients were having an issue with not being able to know what kind of return on investment they were actually getting for the dollars they were putting into marketing. So that gave me the idea. It became really evident at that point that it was a really big problem that marketers all over the world had, and they had just accepted that there was no reliable way to figure that out. So that's what inspired me to start DataSpeaks.
And I guess traditional marketing before digital was very much magic anyways in many respects, because you don't necessarily have the data. You have to extrapolate, you have to samples, I guess. With digital technology, now you have a lot more opportunities to leverage the signals you're getting back. But tell us more about how easy or difficult it was to find a product or platform that can provide this capability.
Yeah, of course. It's very relevant to what you said before. Before the internet, we didn't have pixels. For example, Google Analytics has a pixel that helps you track website usage. Facebook ads, Google ads, every platform gives you a pixel. And prior to the internet, we didn't have that, right? So we had to essentially rely on modeling, media mix modeling. And it worked for media that where you couldn't track individual users or individual customers, right? It was perfect for radio, TV, print. And the internet then gave us the illusion that, oh, now we can track things on a much deeper level. And although there's some truth to that, I think it also gave us the illusion that we could get data that is way more accurate than it actually is. So when I started looking into this, I essentially kind of saw the writing on the wall. I saw that a lot of the startups that were trying to solve this problem were taking the wrong approach. They were trying to track individual users across every device, every channel with pixels. But, these users were demanding more privacy. So there were more users using ad blockers, enabling privacy settings. And essentially, if you want to track people that don't want to be tracked, you're going to have a really tough time. I started looking at how this was done in many other scientific communities and how different areas of science were looking for these correlations and causal relationships. And it became evident to me that really what you wanted to know as a marketer is what happens to my revenue for every dollar that I invest in X. It could be Google Ads, Facebook, whatever. And we formulated a hypothesis, which is tracking the increases or decreases in budget would be a much better way to help you understand the impact of that on your revenue. So to give you an example, if you have a shop where you have 100 customers a day and you start running radio ads and now you get 120 customers a day, then, that's helping you, right? If you start running radio ads and you still have 100 customers, then the amount of impact is very low. That's a very simple example. And what makes this so complex is that there's a lot of different channels. We had to analyze the individual impact of each. What we do is we essentially look at each state every single day. So for example, Colorado, what happens to if you decrease your Google Ads spend, what happened to your conversions? Did it go down or up or stay the same? If it went down, by how much? If you doubled Facebook ads for Maine, what happens to your sales in that state? Now, if you look at one state one day, there's no way you can make any inferences based on that. But with machine learning, if you have 50 daily observations on a daily basis, over time, you see very clear patterns.
It's literally taking the scientific process of experimentation and applying it to an area where, the alternative approach runs into, like you said, a lot of privacy issues. How do you control variables though? Because it's not a scientific experiment done in the lab, it's out there in the real world. I guess that must be like a methodological constraint that you must work with your clients to respect.
Yeah, so there are two ways that our model works. You can do design experiments or natural experiments. So with the design experiment, essentially you say, I want to test, say, Google Ads, for example. So what the algorithm does is it makes a suggestion for what markets you should test and for how long you should run a test. Maybe it says in Colorado and Maine for 22 days, you can do one of these two things. So you can do a holdout where you say, I'm just going to shut it off to see how much my conversions drop. Mm-hmm. Or you could say, I'm going to scale it up by 25, 50% and see how much my sales increase. The algorithm does a really good job helping you find the markets that have the highest statistical significance, but the lowest negative impact on the business. So if you have a lot of customers in California and New York, it's not going to mess with those markets. It's going to find markets that are smaller markets, but still tell you a lot about the overall country in this case. So that essentially helps you measure incrementality if you scale it up or how much you lose if you turn it off. Sometimes it's not possible to do an experiment. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes our clients don't really want to mess even with the small markets, or it's just not practical for whatever reason. So our model still needs to learn from what happens with natural experiments. So it's very normal, even like in terms of demand, you're not going to spend the exact same amount every day. So even if you take one state, let's take Colorado, you're not going to spend the same every day. So some days you're going to spend more because people are searching more for stuff. Sometimes people are not scrolling social media, so there's going to be less demand. And then over time, you also increase or decrease budgets, sometimes pretty substantially. So that's what it analyzes. And again, it's if it looks at one day, one state, could just be a coincidence. But if there's a, if consistently every time you increase a dollar here, you see, you know, $5 more revenue, and that happens over time. And based on that, the system makes predictions that turn to be very accurate, then that's a really good indication for the system. So our system allows for what in science is called randomized controlled trials, where you have a control and a treatment. But even if you don't have the ability to do that, it still learns from natural experiments.
I'm so glad that I got to talk to you about marketing, because I think what I see these days where generative AI, for example, is being applied to marketing, it's in order to just push a lot of things. It's just to throw things and see what sticks. I think this is a very clean, elegant approach. And before we move on and talk about the features specifically, but I'm really curious, how long did it take for you to get to a point where your clients can rely on the platform? And did you have to go for some time with more of a, like a hybrid manual consultancy plus the platform?
Yeah, so we engaged about 20 different brands and agencies in a pilot, and it took us about 3 years to build a solution to a point where we could predict with at least 95% accuracy what's going to happen if you invest a dollar in whatever. And yeah, they were really gracious with us. They understood that we were building something that was never, didn't exist to this degree and didn't allow for this real-time ingestion of data that was converted into insights that helps you optimize right away. So they knew that we were going after a big challenge that all marketers have. It wasn't going to be easy to solve it, but they were very good at providing feedback. And not only feedback on the user interface that allowed us to make it more intuitive, but also they implemented the recommendations our platform was providing and saw the results. And that's what helped us calibrate the models to a point where we said, okay, we're ready to open the doors and take in more clients. And yeah, it's been fantastic since then.
Super exciting. All right, let's talk about what actually is required for such a platform to work. Mm-hmm. I think you've already mentioned a few things, but let's just summarize them in one place to facilitate the listening experience for our audience. What are the core features that you would say are necessary for this platform?
Yeah, so we need access to all your data. So every platform these days has an API. So we will connect to your Google Analytics, Facebook ads, email, and so on. We have about 250 connectors at the moment. So we connect to pretty much anything. We create automated data pipelines that ingest all the data, put that into our data warehouse. We have a ton of different processes in place, clean the data, look for outliers, issues. And the way we approach it is we actually build one attribution model for every client that we work with. So if you're selling furniture, you're not going to get the same attribution as somebody selling accounting services. What we do is the first, we connect your data. We start building the data pipelines. But in parallel to that, we have three meetings, 1 hour each with our clients. And we focus on your customer segments, product mix, and media mix. So we need to understand what are all the different personas that buy your product? What products do you actually sell? And what are all the different channels that you use? Online, offline channels. Where do you sell your products? Only on your website, Amazon, Walmart, Target, other retail stores? Are you doing non-trackable marketing activities? Are you going to trade shows? Are you appearing on podcasts? So we have to learn everything about your business. And then we, based on that, we create a custom model that explains your business in particular with all these elements that we already talked about.
By how much does the lack of a pre-trained model delay how long does it take for a client who commits to this approach? And then when they can see results, isn't the lack of a pre-trained model like lengthening this quite a bit?
Yes. If you use an outside-the-box solution, you could probably be up and running in 4 or 5 days. With us, it takes 6 weeks. And we believe that it's much more important to have accurate data than to have data quickly. Most of our clients manage hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, and they make decisions of moving maybe 2 million from here to here. So they can wait a couple of weeks knowing that the insights are going to be worth it. They want to make sure that they make the right decisions. It doesn't take that long. If, for example, if you think about the media mix modeling pre-internet, it used to take 6 months. And The problem is that not only are you looking at data from 6 months ago, but also like you don't get to make decisions for 6 months. So in this case, once it's built, it will start like ingesting data automatically. So yeah, it takes 6 weeks for the setup, but after that, it's going to be up to date 100%.
Yeah, it's not a snapshot. It's learning as it goes.
Absolutely. Well. Yeah. Every single day. So every day is learning and adjusting and getting better and better. Yeah.
Amazing. And so what are the key challenges to in training models for each client like this?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of challenges. We have a process that the model validation process. So we build a model with all the assumptions that we had, plus conversations we had with our clients. We input all the data, run a couple of diagnostics. I would say about half of the time, it passes everything with great grades from the get-go, but most of the time, there's something there that we're not quite happy with. And usually what it is, we forgot to include some factor. A very common one is promotion. So you did a Black Friday promotion. We forgot to model that. So we see that something that was predicted to be here, it actually ends up being much higher. Okay, that's one promotion that we forgot to build into something. Or maybe, what is this bump around September last year? Oh yeah, we got featured in this magazine. So it's getting an initial set of insights, talking to our clients about things that our model wasn't able to predict well, and make sure that we are accounting for those things moving forward.
How does the artificial intelligence, the machine learning that you've built into the platform now change the role of the marketeer, the strategist, both, of course, on your side and your customers in their organization?
There are two key aspects of it. One is accuracy and the other one is access. You can have the best AI model in the world, like very pleasant to chat with, but if it has the wrong data, you're going to make the wrong decisions. So first and foremost, we want to make sure that our model is very good at capturing that underlying reality and the causal relationships in the data. So the key characteristic of a great model is that it should be able to predict a ton of different scenarios, even scenarios that it hasn't seen before. So maybe you spend $1,000 a day on Google or $1,500 a day, but you've always been in that range. What would happen if you spend $5,000 a day? Like the model has never seen that, but it should still be able to predict with a high degree of accuracy things that it has never seen before. And that's how it knows that it's understanding the true impact of that channel. So accuracy is key. The quality of our decisions and the quality of our outcomes are directly related to the quality of the data that aids those decisions. The second one is access. And what I mean by access is the average brand in the United States has 12 different platforms. And that means you have to log in to 12 different places and look at each one and start analyzing. And yeah, sure, if you have infinite time, you could do it. It's really not a matter of you're not smart enough, so you need AI to do it for you. But it's more of a matter of you have usually somewhere between 1 and 10 million data points a day. There's no way that anybody can go through all that and look for patterns. So AI is very good at spotting problems, opportunities, and helping you prioritize. In our case, we have a checklist of 150 different things that it checks for, and there's all this conditional logic built into it. So it checks for this, and if this is a yes, then it goes check for this, but if this is a no, check for this. So it has all that built into it, plus whatever you as a user add to the system because you want things different than the guy next to you, right? So the value in that is that not only does it analyze all that and filters out the noise and leaves you with a signal, is even if you had 150 insights, that's not actionable. It's way too much for anybody to really act on. So it has to help you understand what's not relevant and what are the 3 to 5 things that you need to be doing, paying attention to right now that are going to have the greatest impact. So if you go and ask a question, you don't have to learn how to use a user interface. Like you had to click here and then here. And where was that? Next time you forget. With AI, you just ask a question and it just gets you the answer. So that's being able to access these 12 different platforms and ask questions in plain English. Maybe you don't know what a certain metric is called. You call it revenue and the platform calls it sales. The AI understands that revenue is sales. So that context is critical. That's a big part of it. But yeah, the other part is even if you're not asking a question, having a system that can process data millions of times faster than any human and can then give you that information. So you as a human who knows the business, has the context, knows about the strategy, can then with that context know what decision to make. I think that's something that is probably one of the highest competitive advantages that you can have as a business.
The core of the message there is that to compete, to be successful, businesses must learn to buddy up, right? Their employees, their experts. I think initially you were talking about how human oversight of the models mm-hmm. is critical yeah. because... Yeah. our ability to take things in context, of course. Then you've also mentioned how there is both from an automation perspective when there's way too many platforms, but also way too many data just coming at you. And so it's important to learn to use these tools to augment your analytical, essentially, capability. You've mentioned that as well.
And what's interesting about this is that most business leaders or marketers are going to agree with the fact that accurate data helps you make good decisions. I would say accurate data that is readily available. But the problem is that it's not always easy to have accurate data or available data. But if we are thinking not even 5 years into the future, 2 years into the future, every competitor is going to have that. And I think that's because we already believe that if I have the right information in front of me, I'll be able to make better decisions, making sure that every person in your organization that needs to make decisions has access to that is probably one of the best investments that you can make.
Excellent point on which to finish. But before we do, I actually have a couple of questions I always ask. So the first one is, what is a book, a tool, or a habit that has made a particularly significant impact on yourself in the last 12 months?
I start each day visualizing what I want the day to look like and then planning it. So every call I have, I want to make sure that I know what I want to get out of the call, that I make sure that the other person gets what they want out of the call. Every minute that I spend working, I want to make sure that I'm working on the most impactful thing at any given time. And before doing that, I was just coming to the office and the things come at you that you're responding to. So therefore, you're not never really taking the time to say, this is the most important thing I need to do today. So now I still leave about 2 hours of time, open time for everybody else that needs something from me. But I make sure that I start the day by doing the thing that is going to move the business forward most.
That's a very good one. Very deliberate and mindful of you. And the last question is there maybe one thing that you would expect to remain constant among all the other things that are changing in the moment, let's say 10 years from now?
The human quality and the importance it has in business. Sure, we're going to have AI systems that have access to all the data that we need, access to all our tools that will be able to send you notifications in Slack or email or give you recommendations for, hey, like this happened, what should I do about it and so on. But I think that brings a lot of concerns to people. And I think that when we think about what machines are good at, the machines are not good at, there's a certain aspect of connecting with somebody else and being real and being open about the challenges you have and what the goals that you have and why certain things are complex. And I think that's never going to go away. I hope that it never goes away, but it's really at the core of who we are. So I think that's something that has always served me, to put relationships first, to think long-term, to invest in people. And that's not going to go anywhere. We are human beings having a human experience. I don't expect that to ever change.
Such a great answer. Thank you very much, Zeke.
Thank you, Alex.
Zeke shared two big ways AI is changing marketing. First, by making data more accurate so companies can see what actually drives sales. Second, by improving access, turning complex data into simple, useful insights. But as Zeke pointed out, AI isn't here to replace marketeers. It's here to help them make better decisions. If you want to dive deeper, Zeke's team has a free resource, the Data Speaks Playbook, which lays out 20 years of best practices for using data to drive growth. You can download it at dataspeaks.ai. As always, we'll have more exciting topics and guest appearances lined up, so stay tuned for more tales of innovation that inspire, challenge, and transform. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Innovation Tales. Get inspired, connect with other practitioners, and approach the digital revolution with confidence. Visit innovation-tales.com for more episodes. See you next time.